It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Results are in from Tuesday's primaries in New York, Florida, and Oklahoma, and we now have a clearer picture of November's matchups. We'll begin in Florida, where Democrats nominated former Republican governor, now Democratic Congressman Charlie Crist, to go up against the current flamethrower, Ron DeSantis. But DeSantis has $132 million on hand for the general election. That's a record number for a gubernatorial candidate who isn't self-funded. And he's animated the Republican base more than any other Republican politician, aside from the former guy. Charlie Crist has an uphill battle on his hands. As expected, Representative Val Demings, who rose to national prominence as one of the impeachment managers in the first impeachment of the former guy, easily took the Democratic nomination to challenge absentee Republican Senator Marco Rubio. One of the more hotly contested races here in Florida was the Democratic primary in the 10th Congressional District, in the Orlando area. That's the seat being vacated by Val Demings in order to run for the Senate. It was the 25-year young Gen Zer, Maxwell Frost, defeating former Representatives Alan Grayson, who placed third, and Corinne Brown, who placed fourth, and State Senator Randolph Bracey, who finished second. In other Florida races of interest, State Senator Annette Tadeo walked away with the nomination for the 27th District, and in my district, Florida's 23rd, as expected, heir apparent Jared Moskowitz will replace Ted Deutch in the House in this very reliably blue South Florida district. In New York, a couple of monumental moves. Due to redistricting, and thanks to Democratic Party overreach and gerrymandering being punished, two 30-year House veterans were pitted against each other. And in New York's 12th District, Gerald Nadler, chair of the House Judiciary Committee, trounced Carolyn Maloney, chair of the House Oversight Committee. She'll exit Congress at the end of the year. In the hotly contested 10th District, Dan Goldman, the self-funding heir to the Levi Strauss fortune, who's also a former federal prosecutor and was a Democratic counsel in the first impeachment hearing of Donald Trump, beat incumbent Mondaire Jones. Now, Jones was also a victim of redistricting, and although he's technically an incumbent, none of his current constituents are in this new 10th district. He went down along with a bunch of other contenders, and Goldman will now most likely head to D.C. from this district that will go to the Democrats. Also in New York, the Conservadem chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, Sean Patrick Maloney, easily beat back his progressive challenger, Alessandra Biaggi. And in a special House election in a swing district that pundits believe will be an early indicator of the impact of the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade in November, the Democrat Pat Ryan beat Republican Mark Molinaro 52-48%, keeping the seat in Democratic hands. And in Oklahoma, Republicans chose a nominee to serve out the remainder of retiring Senator Jim Inhofe's term ahead of a special general election there. Now, by the time you hear this report, President Biden may have already announced his plans for student loan debt. The current pause on federal student loan payments is set to expire 1 week from today, on August 31st. Today, the president is expected to announce his decision to cancel up to $10,000 in federal student loan debt per borrower. It'll be means tested for people earning under $125,000 per year. Now, the Biden administration has already canceled nearly $32 billion of the $1.6 trillion in outstanding federal student debt by expanding existing forgiveness programs for public sector workers, disabled borrowers, and students who were defrauded by for-profit colleges. Still, Biden's facing pressure to do more, mostly from some Democrats who are urging him to cancel $50,000 in debt per borrower. The White House today may also announce whether or not they will once again extend the current pause on loan repayments, again before it expires next week. In a surprising move, former police detective Kelly Goodlett pleaded guilty in federal court Tuesday to falsifying a search warrant application for the raid in which police fatally shot Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky. Goodlett also admitted to trying to cover up the effort to mislead the judge who authorized the warrant. Goodlett's plea makes her the first officer convicted in connection with that raid on Taylor's apartment in March of 2020, ostensibly to search for evidence of drug dealing by Taylor's former boyfriend. The maximum sentence Goodlett could face is 5 years, and a fourth officer who fired those 10 shots into two apartments also faces charges of violating Taylor's civil rights. Ukraine is commemorating its Independence Day today, 6 months to the day since Russia's invasion began on February 24th. There won't be any celebrations today, though, as officials warn that Russia may carry out missile attacks against Ukrainian cities. And instead of a parade, a slew of wrecked and captured Russian military vehicles were displayed on Kyiv's main street to acknowledge Moscow's failed attempt to capture the capital in the early weeks of the war. President Zelensky marked the day with an emotional address, saying, quote, "Every new day is a new reason not to give up. Because having gone through so much, we have no right not to reach the end." Ukraine's Independence Day marks 31 years since Ukraine broke ties with the Soviet Union. And in an announcement likely timed to hit on this Independence Day, President Biden announced another $3 billion in aid. In a statement explaining that the money will go to air defense systems, artillery systems, munitions, and other war-fighting material. And finally, even the worst drought in history has at least one silver lining, right? Well, in an almost dry riverbed in Texas, due to extreme drought conditions, dinosaur tracks from around 113 million years ago were uncovered. It was at Dinosaur Valley State Park, which makes sense, in Texas. And they're saying more prehistoric findings are likely as water levels continue to drop. Meanwhile, in Florida, today marks 30 years since Hurricane Andrew slammed into the state, ultimately destroying more than 49,000 homes and killing dozens of people. And now we're nearing the end of the month of August. If things remain calm for one more week, this will be only the third August in 60 years without one single named storm. Fingers crossed. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.